For by the might, the will of Almighty Yahweh, we come before your presence in the mighty name of Yahshua the Lamb. We do assemble here in the Bayan of our great King on this great memorial unto Almighty Yahweh. A time of reflection of the might and the power of Yahshua the Lamb as we gather here for this Rosh Hashanah, this blowing of the shofar. Israel is gathered throughout the nations of the world for this great time of memorial and celebration. We do prepare our minds by the certain sound of the shofar for this Yom Kippur. Gather in your mighty name. We do esteem you this day, Yah. In the precious name of Yahshua the Lamb. For this Yom Teruah, as we gather and prepare our minds, as we prepare our Ruah to hear, He always speaks unto Israel. We bow in your presence. We come before you with the offering of Torah unto Yahweh. For you are our precious Tikvah, the hope. For the power of that Tikvah is in Yahshua the Lamb. We do pray in Yahshua's mighty name that you would strengthen us all. And cause the power of your Ruach to move tonight in a mighty and a special way. We may hear what the Ruach speaks unto the Bayats, Israel. For this is Yahweh's time. For the manifestation of the power of Yahshua in the midst of Israel. We curse every foul thing, every unclean of darkness, every unclean thing, we come against in the mighty name of Yahshua. We pray for your mighty truth to prevail today. As we gather here tonight, Yahweh, as we welcome this wonderful mikrah, this convocation, you command the house of Israel during this time. They may assemble themselves and come into the presence of our mighty one, Almighty Yahweh. Pour out the refreshing of your Ruah, the power of your Ruah in the midst. We may hear from you tonight. You may speak unto Israel that our sins may be cleansed. We may be washed from all of our transgressions and all of our iniquitous ways. We plead the dam of Yahshua the Lamb, that it may cover the minds, the levim of the people of Almighty Yahweh. Let the singing and the rejoicing, the praises, the accolades of worship unto you, Yahweh. For we stand in your presence in awe. We know that you are our King. We know that Yahshua is the promise of your truth. We Ahava you this day. We barak you mightily in Yahshua's mighty name. Teach us your way plainly. Teach us the pathway of life, which is only found in Yeshua the Lamb. We shall brook you. We shall esteem you mightily. We shall lift up your mighty name, for the power of your truth revealed unto Israel. Come, Yeshua. Let the coming of our HaMashiach be soon, that we may rejoice in the power of our everlasting King, and rejoice in the strength of your Emet. We ask all things in Yeshua's mighty name. Your healing power rest upon Israel, and it rests mightily upon the seed of Israel. We do rejoice today. We do shabak you mightily in the precious mighty name. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lamb of Israel, we do rock you and esteem you mightily. And the Bayan of Israel cried, hallelujah. 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 Come on, lift your hands and your voices. Come on and praise Him. The sound of the shofar. As we lift our voices unto Almighty Yahweh. For the power and truth of Yeshua the Lamb. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your voices and shout, hallelujah. The sound of triumphing. The sound of Teshuah. The sound of victory. In the name of Yeshua the Lamb, hallelujah. Lift your voices and shout, Hosanna, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your voices and your hands. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh. Lift your hands unto Yahweh, everything that hath breath. Praise Him. Lift your voices and shout, hallelujah. 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 Shout the victory in Yeshua the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revive Israel. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, yes. We do wait for the coming of our HaMashiach, Yeshua the Lamb. We do wait on the sound of the last shofar to sound out of Hashemayim, whereby we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet our HaMashiach. Those that are dead shall rise up from the grave. We that will not see the sting of death, we shall be caught up to meet Him. And in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. And if there is no tikvah, no hope of that resurrection, then our emunah is in vain. So we do pray, Yah, tonight, that You would help us all. You will touch every one of us tonight. Touch Brother James and Sister Teresa. And she battled with the condition in his body. For Your healing power is pervasive in Israel. We pray for Brother Josh Horn and his wife, Sister Ebony, as he has a cyst to deliver his child today. We bless You for that. In the mighty name of Yeshua the Lamb, we pray that Your strength permeates in Israel tonight, that we may hear the simplicity of Your truth, and we may delight in what You speak unto Israel. Bless the remnant scattered throughout the nations of the world. We ask it all in Yeshua's mighty name. We trust You for the Teshua, the victory. We declare that with a resonating sound of hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, may Yah heal you tonight and strengthen you. Yahshua's name. Mashlomka. You may be seated. Hallelujah. This is a time that we must hear Him speak. We must hear what the word of Yahweh commands us. And in hearing what He commands us, then we are able to build on the most kadosh imuna. Our faith is one that is strengthened. It has the resolve of Almighty Yahweh. We have great confidence in Him. Now there are things that do impede us. It is our own unwillingness, our own inability to hear what Yahweh commands Israel. Now everything that He has commanded us is written in the book, that it may be a witness of what He has written in the love of Israel. For His mitzvah, the works of Yah, the commands of Yahweh, the instructions of Yahweh, they are written in the scroll, the book, that when the witness of that truth is enlightened in us, that there will be a true witness in our love, that we know that this is of Almighty Yahweh. I must inform us that He simply speaks unto Israel. He did not command Moshe to go unto the house of the Hittites. He did not command Joshua to go unto the house of the Jebusites. Nor did He instruct David to impart on to the Philistines the oracles of Almighty Yahweh. They were meant for the elect remnant, the house that was called and set apart by Almighty Yahweh, that He may speak unto them. And in the process of speaking unto Israel, He will establish in the midst of that nation, He will establish prototypes, memorials, and signs and wonders that His name would always be remembered among His house. And at the rememberings of that name, we would shout with a great Teshua, victorious proclamation of the power of our Abba that dwells in the midst of the Israelite remnant of His elect calling. And He established in the house of Israel. He did not establish His Mizraim or His Mikraim, His Mikra, His convocations, His feast days. He did not establish that with those of Mizraim. He established that with Israel. And He spoke unto the Nabi, the prophet, Moshe, what He must command and speak on to Israel. And for some reason we think that Yahweh is speaking to the world. He is not speaking to the world. He spoke to Noah that He may prepare an ark for the saving of His house. And He speaks unto Israel today to let us know that the ark has been prepared. And that ark is the viability, the living power of His Torah, His word, His truth, that brings liberation unto Israel, the strength, the fortitude, and the power of Almighty Yahweh to overcome every opposition of hell. His feast days are very vital unto Him. They are signs and types of the things that have been established in Yahshua and the things to come as well. They are so important unto Him that He literally spoke unto Moshe and said unto him, speak on to Israel, for this is what I command my house, that they may observe, they may guard, they may keep, they may keep a watchful eye on these things that I command you. And it is not just a small thing to take the feast days or the convocations of Yah to take them in vain. For every word of Yahweh is pure, and He commands in His word that every word of Yah or His word is always, or it is settled in Hoshemayam. For the word of Yahweh is settled, and there is nothing that can be added, and there is nothing that can be detracted from the word of Almighty Yahweh. But before I began this teaching on tonight, and I do pray that Yah permits me to move in a more methodical form, that I may teach unto Yisrael the oracles of Yahweh in its most simplistic form, that it will be taught unto us in a simple way, that there will be no doubts, there will be no confusion at all, but that we would hear what Scripture says, and that we may understand the legitimacy of Scripture, the purpose, and the power of the living Word of Almighty Yahweh. But I do want to begin in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, as Shaul makes this profound statement. As we heard the sound of the shofar, as we began this time of Rosh Hashanah, this Feast of Trumpets Shofar, this Yom Teruah of Almighty Yah, whereby the power of His Spirit revitalized us from the laborious challenges we have had for this great time of ingathering. For we have battled against the onslaught of hell as the enemy tries to bring about tyranny in our minds to cause us to doubt Yahweh. We have seen the word of Yahweh sown in the midst of our life, for the true witness of that truth to rise with great fruit in us. And we have toiled in the midst of the heat and the tremendous battles of the enemy as he has come against our thought process. He has come against the purpose that Yahweh has placed in Israel. The battle seems so intense and we do not even know how to prepare for the battle. But Shaul says unto us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 8, he says, for if the shofar gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? If the sound of the shofar is not the certain sound of battle, then we will not prepare ourselves for battle. That is why even the voice of Yahweh was as the sound of mighty shofars in the midst of Hoshemayam. And when they would hear the voice of Yahshua, it was like the trumpeting sound of the shofar that it blared in the midst of the congregation, of the multitude of people, and His voice was not dampened or hampered by the elements around Him. And the words that were spoken prepared the minds of the people thereof to receive the unadulterated truth of Almighty Yahweh, that it may solidify in them what Yahweh had sown in them, that they would know of a truth that we are the seed of Israel, and we must prepare for the battle to defend the truths of Almighty Yahweh. We are set for the defense of the truth. We are not set to defend our flesh, any form of ethnicity, any kind of rights that we perceive are ours. We are set to defend the Constitution of Almighty Yahweh. And the trumpet has sounded, the shofar has sounded. We must lay aside these dead works that try to preserve the flesh and those things that we identify with fleshly. We are set to defend the mitzvah, the workings of the power of the word of Almighty Yahweh in us. And that is the only thing we are set to defend. And if the shofar makes a sound that is not identified with the battle that we prepare ourselves, that we put on the armament of Almighty Yah,
We have the shield of faith. Our feet shod with the preparation of this message of shalom. Our loins girded about with the power of the Torah. We have on the breastplate of the Siddiq or of the character of Yeshua. And we have the sword of the Ruah, which is the power of the word of Yah in the fullness of its strength. So we have a battle that is intense to defend the integrity of Almighty Yahweh, to defend the purpose of Yeshua, that this word may rise from the depths of our inward parts and our minds, that we will stand as a scepter of power and tzedakah in the presence of a wicked, vile, sadistic generation. And we must, as the people of Yahweh, we must allow the misfire, the works of Yah, to perform in us, because He has invested much in us, and He is looking for a great usury when Yeshua comes. He is looking for the abundance of the fruit that He desire that He may dine with us. And so the shofar must give a certain sound, and in this hour whereby there are so many sounds, there are so many messages, but they do not exemplify the power of Yahweh. They are messages of traditions. They are ordinations that are corrupt from the deceitfulness of the corrupt mind of man. But they have not come by the power of the spoken words, as Yah spoke unto Moshe to speak unto Israel. Yah wants us to know this. He speaks in Malachiah. He says in chapter 3, verse 6. He says, "For I am Yahweh, and I shall not." There is no altering. There is no given to change. "And I change not." I do not alter my stance. I do not change my mitzvah. My emet will not be altered for any of you all. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Yaakov are not consumed. We, the seed of Israel, we have walked in disobedience. We have walked in a perpetual ignorance of blindness. We have walked in stupor and stupidity. Yahweh says, because of what commands and instructions I gave to your forefathers, I will not consume you in the midst of your wicked, iniquitous transgressions against my Torah. I cannot change what I have given promise unto Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and what has been established in Yeshua. He does not change at all. He is not given to Jonah a change. He doesn't alter His words. The word of Yahweh is not altered. Now man will alter it for his own specific purpose, for his own doctrine that he desires to establish. But the word of Yahweh never changed at all. And He's letting us know that even in the midst of all of our rebelliousness and our perverted activities, we are the sons of Yaakov. And because I will not and I do not change, I will not consume you in the midst of your sinful, perverted activities. I do not change. And the word of Yahweh is forever settled in Hashemayim. O Yahweh, forever, O Yahweh, your word is forever settled in Hashemayim. The word of Yahweh is settled. There is nothing that we can add. There is no dimension to the word of Almighty Yahweh that we can add or enhance. We cannot enhance it at all. We must live it. We must obey it. We must eat it. And we must delight in the word of Almighty Yahweh. It is settled. It is done. It is established so that there will be no confusion at all. Now the reason I establish this, the validity of His truth, the power of the word of Yahweh, that His memorials, they're valid. And they are quite important for us to take heed to and to remember them according to Scripture. And we must obey them because they are of great essence for the house of Israel. Nothing is more valuable than what the Word of Yahweh commands us. And what the Word of Yahweh commands us to do, it is to produce the power of His everlasting strength in the midst of the elect remnant that He has chosen. He has elected Israel. It was not because of their works, their abilities. He elected us because it is His sovereign choice. It is His own choosing. He simply elected us. We were wretched. We were vile. We were the practitioners of every kind of vile, sadistic thing there is. And what He lets us know, Israel, it is not by your power of might or anything you have to offer unto me that I elected you. I want you to understand the value of that election. And when you understand the value of that election, you will understand the value of my mikrah, my covenant of convocations and memorials that I have established in the midst of Israel. And they will become a delightsome thing to you. And your love will delight in this time, this occasion, this thing that I have instituted for you, that there may be a time that you will lay aside all things. And you will come before me and rest in my bosom. And I shall feed you with the fresh milk out of Hashemayim. And you shall eat the bread of life that shall enable you to walk in the power of my truth, whereby there will be no doubt at all in you. The world does it all the time. We've watched them in their last hooray of their end of their summer solstice celebration. And they go forth throughout the United States in their drunken stupor and their folly. This was a time of the year whereby the men of Israel, they would all gather in Jerusalem for these days of festivity. For it was a great time, a memorial, shadow and type of things to come. Listen to me. And even today, the memorials of Yahweh are still the shadows and types of things to come in the kingdom age. And the more we understand the beauty of it, the more we delight in it, the more it causes our love to be fat, we understand the intricates of His memorials with the power of His truth. It will cause us to delight greatly and rejoice in a mighty way in the truth of Almighty Yahweh. I want to begin in Vayera, Leviticus chapter 23 at verse 23. I want you to follow along with me as I speak this patiently with a deliberate effort that we may understand, brothers and sisters. Wisdom is very valuable, and it is important. But in all of our gathering, we need to get understanding. We need to have the knowledge of this truth whereby it is practical, and it produces something in us that there is a great rejoicing and a delight in the Word of Yahweh. We cannot come before Him, especially in a time like this, all mummified, without this great euphoric that flow from our inward parts, that Yah has caused you again to come to this most wonderful time of the year, that we will lay aside every activity, that our minds will meditate upon Him for the season that is ahead. He speaks unto Moshe, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 23. It says, and Yahweh spoke. Now this was not some Melak. This was Almighty Yahweh speaking. Dabah. He simply commanded. He instructed. He instituted. That is why he spoke. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying unto him, and this Dabah of Yah, it is a command. It is one that is of warning and threatening. Now Yahweh spoke unto him for a specific purpose. I said to Pastor Pennington today, when the living word Yahshua does not speak to us, Yahweh has to go beyond that and speak to us. It is a tremendous woe. You hear these perverters today, and they will say, quote, God spoke to me and said this, unquote. I have no compunction with that in the application that the God of this world has spoken unto them. I have no problem with that. But we that are the elect seed of Israel, when we say that Yah spoke Hidabah unto us as he did Moshe, then the power of the revealed truth and the witness of that truth doesn't speak to us. It shows a form of rebelliousness and a mind that is twisted and turned from Yahweh. For in sun-dry times, Yahweh spoke unto Israel by the Nabi, the prophet. And now he has chosen a more excellent way to speak unto his house, and that is by the power of the living words, and that living word is Yahshua HaMashiach. And Yahweh speaks to us by Yahshua. That is how he speaks unto the house of Israel. But Yahidabah, he spoke unto Moshe, so he commanded him. It was almost like a threatening tone of voice for him to pronounce what he wanted Moshe to hear. And so the Ruah speaks to us today. And it is not a voice that placates with us. It is not a voice that soothes us in our corruption and our sins of defiance against the word of Yahweh. When Yahweh Dabah speaks to us, you have caused some kind of threatening resolve to come from him. For when the Torah of Yah could not speak to Israel, when the Nabi of Yahweh Moshe could not speak unto Israel, and they adhered what he commanded, then you would see the wrath of Yahweh poured out with great vengeance and anger upon a house that could not simply hear. So we know here in Wehira that this is not Moshe speaking. It is not some kind of spirit, but this is the power of the voice of Yahweh. And Yahweh, do you all understand that? When Yahweh goes to the lengths that he must speak, it is something that he intends for us not to take lightly. It is something that is not trivial. It is something that has great value, and it is important for us to hear him. When Yahweh speaks, we better hear him. When Yahweh opens his mouth, you better turn your attention unto him. I do not care what David Roberts says or what you say, but when Yahweh speaks, you better listen to what he speaks. And this says that Yahweh spoke. He did not dispatch Gabriel. He did not dispatch Michael. He spoke himself. There was no intermediary between he and Moshe. But he said, I will speak unto you, Moshe, that nothing will be lost in the transition, but that every word will be written in the scroll, and it may be a warning and a strength unto Israel, that they will know that I spoke it. So that is clarified, that Yahweh spoke this. He spoke unto Moshe, and this is what he said, saying, he said, I want you to speak to the children of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. Speak to the children of the Moabites. Speak to the children of the Philistines. He says, speak unto Israel, saying. Now we know who the true seed of Israel is. It is those that have the brits of Yah written in their lava, their mind and their inward parts. Those that have the power of Torah and the witness of that Torah truth, by the knowledge and the living truth of Yahshua in them. He said to Moshe, this is for the house of Israel. And you speak to Israel. That is who he commanded him to speak to. You'd think that this was the only tribe on the face of the earth. This was not the only tribe. Did Yahweh make all men? Did he make Hashemayim and the earth the Olam? Who made it? Did I make it or you? Did he make everything that is seen and unseen? So he spoke with specifics, did he not? He did not say, go unto the Moabites. He did not say, go unto the Philistines. He did not say, go unto the heathens of the world. But he said, speak unto Israel, saying. Now that is who spoke this. It was not Moshe. He told him who to speak to. Is he directive here? Is there a directive here? Is he direct in what he wanted right here? Come on here, Israel. He is direct in what he wants to be done. So he told him who to speak to. He told him who they were because he identified who they were. He had given Israel a Torah, a matter of life, a way to live, a workings of life. And so has he done today still with Israel. He has put the power written it in the left, in the mind, and in the inward parts of Israel. This is a generation that's trying to identify Israel by some pigmentation. What an ignorant generation of preposterous stupidity. For even in this group here, we see the various shades of complexity, of colors of skin. I want to identify Israel by a diaspora. For Israel has always been in a diaspora. They have always been rejected. They have always had to flee. We have always had to flee from the powers that be. You tell me we do not have to flee into the wilderness and hide ourselves for a space of time? You never have to flee to a place whereby you can find the serenity, the shalom of Yahweh. Where your mind is being battled against and opposed by everything that is true and right. And you have to, as the old Kiddushim say, you have to steal away and find a place of security and comfort. Sure we must. Israel has always had to flee. So he commanded him who to dabar to, who to speak to. He says, speak to Israel, saying, Yahweh is specific here. He says, in the seventh month, in Tishri, in the seventh month. He did not say the first month, but he said the seventh month. Did he not say? Yahweh is precise with time. He is precise with order. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters, my Israelite brothers and sisters. There are false doctrines that are based upon this corrupt tradition of what we call Judaism, or the Jews teach that this is the time of the new year and the beginning of Yah, but that is not so. And they teach these deceptions from the Talmud, and it is a deception from hell. For the scripture tells us when the first month of the year is. It is Abib. It is Nisan, either enunciation, but it is Abib. It is not Tishri. And he tells them the seventh month. He did not say the third month. He did not say the fourth month. He did not say the 12th month. He said precisely the time, the seventh month. Well, is he more specific? And he said the first day of the seventh month. And this is the first day of the seventh month of Yahweh. Not the first day of a year of Yahweh. This is the first month of Tishri, the first month of Yahweh. Is he precise here, brothers and sisters? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand this. Except it takes us doing a little studying. That's all it takes. Just a little careful analogy of the word of Yahweh. Along is Ruach to speak to us. So he identified the time, the seventh month, the first day of the month. Is that what he says? He says, you shall have a Shabbaton, a time of rest. Listen carefully. Because Yahweh is not playing with this wicked generation. I will show us in this book. He said, it shall be a Shabbaton, a memorial, a Zikron, a time of remembrance, a reminder. This will serve as a preserver of a remembrance of a thing. Isn't your birthday, it preserved the remembrance of the date you were born? Isn't that so? So Yahweh said this will serve as a reminder. It will serve as something to remind you who I am, what I've done for you, what I brought you through, the might of my power. But he was specific at what time? The seventh month and the first day. It cannot be the second day or the third day, but it has to be the seventh month and the first day. He said, this is a Shabbaton. It is a day of rest. It is a day of meditation. It is a day of comforting. Maruah in the midst, comforting. You're not bombarded with the cares of this life. You're not deceived by the riches. And it is not the powers of deception that choke out the power of this truth from you. So he is precise. Yahweh is precise, isn't he? Did he make a mistake when he called you? Did he make a mistake when he elected you? Brothers and sisters, we cannot allow the spirit of this age to call Yahweh a liar. He says by his immutability, he's immune from lying. He cannot lie. He tells us precisely the seventh month, the first day of the month, it shall be a Shabbaton, a memorial, a Zikron of the blowing of the trumpet, the shofar. It shall be a Mikrah Kadosh. It shall be a time of convocation. It shall be a day that is set apart. It shall be a special time. You shall blow the shofar that we prepare for this great event and the time and the season of the coming of Yeshua the Lamb. For he shall come again with the sound of the blowing of the shofar. He is going to come again, and he is trying to speak unto us that we may understand the shadow and type of this great Mikrah, this feast day, this Zikron, this memorial unto him, that we will be reminded and mindful of the coming of Yeshua the Lamb. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, if we literally question our inner integrity on the thought of the coming of Yeshua, it is not given much attention at all. And so what Yah says in the seventh month, on the first day of that month, it shall be a Shabbaton. You shall rest and you shall devote your time to the thought and the coming of the kingdom and the power of Yeshua to establish the rights of Yah in the earth for eternity. So I shall establish this Zikron, this memorial, this time, that nothing will prevent you, nothing will impede you, because it shall be a Shabbaton. You don't have to labor, you don't have to work, I just want you in my presence. I want you to meditate upon me. That's all right by me. It is one thing about our Abba, he is so precise. It was one thing in the military. They do not use, they use the 24-hour sequence of time. 0100, 0200, 1500. Because if they tell you at 3 a.m., they say to you, I want you to be there at 3. Well, 3 what? P.M. or A.M.? So if they intended for 3 a.m. and you got there 3 p.m., you can say, you did not say, you said 3. When they tell you 0300, you know that's 3 p.m. When they tell you 1500, You know 0-1500, you know that that's 3. That's 3 a.m. is 0-300, and 1500 is 3 p.m. You know that. And so Yahweh is so precise. He's not going to allow anything to impede or interfere with what He wants to speak to Israel. He said, it shall be a Shabbaton, and you shall blow the shofar. As we began this Shabbaton unto Yah, with the blowing of the shofar, that we prepare for the battle, for our mind shall be assaulted by the powers that be, that we may lose confidence in the hope that we have, the tikvah of the coming of Yahshua. See, we hope more than just in this world. If we only hope in this world, then we of all men most miserable. If we do not hope for the coming of the shofar sound, and whereby Hashemayim shall open, and we shall see the coming of the mighty Tefirath, of the King of honor, Yahshua, whereby the power of Yahweh will be exemplified in Him, we have no other tikvah hope at all. So it's valuable and it's important to understand this Mikrah of Yahweh, this one that we call that we call the Feast of Shofar, the blowing of the trumpets of Almighty Yah, Rosh Hashanah, Yang Yam Tiruah. It's a very important time and season of the Shara and type to come. It is the type of the ushering of the kingdom age that shall be. It is a type and a shadow of the sound of the great shofar that Yahshua shall sound in His coming. Whereby we that are the seed of Yisrael shall be caught up to meet Him. And at that moment of the time we shall be changed, and we shall be like Him, for we shall know all things as He knows all things. So He gives us a reprieve from the laborious task of our daily enterprise, that we may rest and this thing may resonate from the inward parts. And it may cause a great rejoicing. We hear the sound of the shofar. It may cause us to dance and play the timbrel before Almighty Yahweh. He instructs us here what to do as well. He says in verse 25, does Yahweh mean what He says? Does He say what He means? He says to us, you shall do no laborious work on it. I don't want you digging in the garden. I do not want you plowing. I do not want you fishing and hunting. You shall do no laborious work. There shall be no labor whereby it exacts some pleasure to your flesh. You shall rejoice in the inward man that shall cause your whole presence of your whole physical being to shine with the great light of this truth of Yahshua. So this is the first ordeal of business. There should be no laborious, there should be no servile labor in that time. None! As a matter of fact, there should be a preparation. We should prepare our minds as we enter into this time of Shabbaton, rest. He instructs us there should be no laborious work on it. He said, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. And that is why the fire of the offering, it is the word that Yah has written in Israel. It is shut up in us. He has shut the word up in Israel. No weapon that rises up against the power of the standards of Yahweh, His truth is in Israel, it shall not prosper. That's why Jeremiah said, it is like fire shut up in my bones. And so we shall offer unto Yahweh this praise offering of fire, because it is the fire of that truth that burns deep in our inward parts. And we lift our hands with the crescendo of praises and accolades of Torah unto Yahweh. He means that there ought to be a fire burning in us. We are not to be a lethargic people. He commands us what to do. No servile, no laborious labor. There shall be an offering of fire, this word that churns down in us. When we sense the fire of that word burning, it causes us to move in the power of His Ruah. And our hands are lifted, our voices are raised unto Yahweh Torah. We barak Him. Hallelujah. It is a time whereby we should be exceedingly glad, gila, for the great time of the season that He has brought us to. A time of offering that has not changed. Yahweh says He changed not. So His word has not changed, brothers and sisters. These corruptors of the truth, they have corrupt the word of Yahweh. They hold the emet of Yahweh in unrighteousness. In this corrupt mindset, in this corrupt thought process that is analytical, whereby they never come to the power of the truth. The power of the truth makes us free to render all unto Yahweh, to serve Him, to bless Him, to brock Him. That's what it does, my friends. So He has given Moshe the instructions as to how this time, what should be done, and the order of this occasion. You see, this is not difficult, is it? This is not something that exacts such a demand on man that he must do something that is in a physical form to say that I made it through. And those that do not have the resolve or the strength we have cannot perform the same kind of physical feat that you can. Come on, some of these men in here can lift 200 pounds. Whatever Yah says, you must lift 500 pounds. Then we all would be lost, wouldn't we? All He tells you to lift one thing. You know what it is? Lift your hands. Lift your voices. Let the fire of Yah kindle in you. And lift your hands unto Him. Hallelujah. He goes on to command, and you shall do no work in that same day, for it is the young Hakimporim, it is the blowing of a shofar, to make an You shall do no laborious work at that time. Verse 26. And Yahweh spoke unto Moshe, saying, verse 25. And you shall do no laborious work, and it shall be to you, you shall bring an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. So the instructions are clear, are they not? They are precise for this day. The instructions were not deviated. You don't have to have an engineering mindset to understand this. In the month of Tishri, the first day, it is a Shabbaton. It is a day of no laborious labor or any such thing. It shall be the time and the season for Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the shofar. And 10 days from that time, we have a period of time whereby it is known unto us as the Feast of Atonement, or the Day of Atonement unto Almighty Yahweh. It is known as Yom Kippurah. He goes on to say in verse 26 again. Now this is Yahweh speaking, isn't it? Is it not Yahweh? And Yahweh spoke to Moshe saying, look at this. Also, that is inclusive. Also, on the 10th day of this 10th month. Come on here. On what? 7th month Tishri, the 7th month, did He tell him what day? He told him precisely, did He not? Is it the 10th day or the 11th day? It's the 10th day. Well, how do we know when the day begins, or how do we know when it ends? Well, I will show us that in the book. Will you follow along with me? All right, I will show you in the book. I want to make things plain unto Yisrael. He says in the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a mikrah kodesh, a set apart time. He said it shall be a kippur, it shall be a kadosh convocation to you. You understand that it shall be a special time whereby nothing shall impede you from that. Nothing. You do not allow anything to supersede this time. You do not allow anything to prevent you with most urgency to prepare yourself for it, because he tells us what it shall be. It shall be kadosh, kadash unto you. It shall be a time that is set apart. It shall be a special time to you, he said, and you shall afflict your being, your soul, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. What does he mean, afflict? He said this time of atonement, this Kippur, it shall be a time whereby you shall fast and bring that flesh under submissiveness unto the command that I've instructed you. Well, how do we fast? How do we do this? Yah must be precise in what he commands us and what he shows us. He tells us to afflict our being. He means that. He means for it to be torn, it to be for we to wrench power away from our carnal man, take control over the appetite, take strength over the will that it doesn't command you do and go and eat and do that. He said, "You shall afflict, you shall reframe it or constrain it." You shall bring it under the law of the Torah of truth and strength that comes from the mouth of Yah. Is this not a Torah unto Israel? It's a law. It's a shadow of type. That doesn't mean it's done away with. Look down and see. Do you see the shadow of your feet in here? Do you see your shadow? Now, because you turn away from it, that doesn't mean you don't. It's not there. We can turn away from this because it's a shadow and a type. That doesn't mean it's not there. A shadow reflects always what is actual. I'll say that again. A shadow always reflects what is actual. You are the actual thing, but the shadow is just a type of the actual thing. But the actual thing is real, isn't it? So this is real. Let no one deceive us, people of Yah. He said, he tells us what kind of event it shall be. He tells us the specifics of it. He tells us the purpose of it, what we shall do. We shall afflict our souls. And he said, we shall offer up this offering of fire. We shall let this fire, the word of Yah, burn down in us. And the joy of Yah resonate from our inward parts. We have become a people whereby there is no great fervor to praise Yahweh. There is no fire in our praises. There is no presence. One thing that what a fire does, when one is taken by the fire, if their bodies are set afire, what do they do? Tell me what they do. They run. Sure they do. And we get this fire in us, we will run in the bosom of Yahshua. We'll run to the open arms of Almighty Yahweh. And so there is not a fire that's kindled in us. Yahshua came to bring power and strength to that fire, that word of Yah. For the word of Yahweh is like fire. And that's what he has put in us, a word that is fire. That word will burn. I will not, if that word speaks to you, will it not consume that sinful practice and activity? When that word speaks to you, will it not convince you of your sins? When that word speaks to you, will it not show you your way is corrupt and not the way of Yahweh? And when that word consumed that, there will be a fire praise of Torah unto Yah. So we must always offer the offering of fire. It must be associated with fire, brothers and sisters. It cannot be this melancholy spirit that we have. It must always be associated with fire. He says, and you shall do no work at the same day, for it is a young Hakiburim to make atonement, kafar, to make atonement, to cover. Now what they teach in this polluted thing called Judaism, and that's what it is, from the Talmud. You must understand on Yom Kippur that day, they literally sell tickets to their synagogues. And they literally believe now that their good works and their philanthropies and their kind gestures, and they will spend all day in the synagogues. They do not leave it. That is the atonement. Well, our atonement is the dam, the blood of Yahshua. Because I can tell you all of my works are filthy rags. They have no value at all. Your works have no significance, but they're works of deception, corruption, deceit, and wickedness. It is the works of the impale HaMashiach that produce the power of the atonement of Yah, that covers our sins, eradicate our sins, move our sin from us, atone for our sins, pay the price for our sins. For it is that, and it gives us the legal rights to come into the presence of Yah. It is the reconciliation to Yahweh. It is the damned blood of Yeshua. And your damnable works that you think are good, they will not reconcile you. They are not the atonement of our sins. They serve no value at all. It is only Yeshua. He said, this day will be a time where you shall afflict yourself. And that same day, before Yahweh, you shall make atonement, kafar to Yah, before Yahweh your Abba. Verse 29. For whatsoever soul it shall be, there shall not be afflicted in the same day. Listen now. Do you all hear this? He said, whoever will not fast and do it faithfully unto me, he shall be cut off from among the people. Do you not see why the enemy wants us? Because he causes our lust to be incest. When we need to do what Yah commands us. And we are so incensed by greed that we can't wait to fill our belly's desire. If there is no atonement before Yah with you, you're going to be cut off. He said, those that will not afflict their souls, he said, they shall be cut off. He means what he says. He is not just talking. This is Yahweh talking here. I don't care what these corruptors say. They've lied to us. They've deceived us. They've robbed us of the virtue of that pure thing Yah put in us. He wrote something that was pure and virtuous in us. And they've robbed us of this. And now Yahweh is restoring what the cankerworms have eaten. He's restoring that, brothers and sisters. He's giving us a living truth and a living word. Now this is what Yahweh says. Those that will not afflict themselves, will not fast, they shall be cut off from among the people. And he says this, and whatsoever being a soul it be that does work, any work. Does it say that? You don't clean your house? Do you hear me? You don't wash your dishes? You don't cook your dinner? You don't do your repairs? You all can sit here on mom all you want to. Did Yah speak this? Did Yahweh speak this? This is the instructions of Moshe. See, we have taken the things of Yahweh lightly, haven't we? Because we have lived in such frivolity and folly. We've lied to ourselves and one another. We think that Yahweh is a liar too. But he is immune from lying. He cannot lie. And whatsoever being a soul it be that does any work, in that same day shall that soul, Yah says, I will destroy it from among the people. Did he say that? Did Yahweh mean that? He said, I'm going to destroy that being that does work in that day. Now take what I say lightly if they do any work. I don't care what the work is. No mending in your houses. Not whatsoever. He means what he says. No stringing that up. If you didn't clean it up the day before, let it stay that way. No exercising, no work to the flesh. You afflict that. Your attention is given unto Yahweh. He said, you afflict it. He means what he says. He said, I'm going to destroy them. They're meant to destroy it because they cannot discern Yeshua's body. Is this the word spoken? Yeshua is the power of this living truth. And that man is sickly, they are asleep because they discern not, they have eaten in vain. They are not the true seed of Israel. They're eating, they had no right to eat. And they're sick and they're dying among us. Yah has not changed. We've just been ignorant. David Roberts, you have. We have had ignorant men before us to lead us. And they have not known the power of the truth. And now, he will not weaken our ignorance. He has brought the light shining upon the living word that's in us. He has put something in you, Israel. Don't let the devil steal the power of that truth from you. He said, I don't want you to do nothing. I don't want you to work on that day. I don't want you to take it lightly. I want you to prepare for it. I don't want you to prepare at the last minute. I want you to prepare for it. I will, my brother, Toda. I don't want you to take it lightly. This is serious business because I spoke it. No. I spoke this. And I told Moshe to write it in the scroll. I was precise in my instructions. He's precise, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And so whoever does any work on the same day, Yahweh says, that one will I destroy from among the people. Do you understand the sharpness of that threat from Yahweh? He means what he says. When you do not take the Mikrah, the feast days of Yah serious, then he will cut you off from among the people. He means that. He means what he says. He says in verse 31, you shall do no manner of work. Is that what it says? There shall be no activity of work. No playing the children. No pushing them on swings. No frivolity for them. None whatsoever. No bike riding. No pleasure-driven thing. He said, you shall do no work. No, do no manner of work. He said, it shall be a statute for this time only. What does it say there? Now, are we going to be in the kingdom forever or a short time? Is it forever? So, is that the same forever? Is this forever? And we shall forever be with him? So, is that forever? Is it spelled the same way? It shall be a statute, a limitation, forever throughout your generations. In all your dwellings. He said, it shall be to you a Shabbat, a Shabbaton of rest, and you shall afflict, listen now, your soul. He tells us when it began. He says, you began on the ninth day of the month at 12 p.m. Come on and say it. When? At evening? So begins at the evening time, doesn't it? He said, you shall begin on the ninth day. So next Friday, it will be the ninth day. So you began to afflict your soul at the eve of the ninth day. Before the sun goes down, you prepare yourself. Now worry about your cupcake biscuits and the sandwich you got laid back. You got to get the last bit in. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Is Yahweh precise here? He said, you must begin to afflict your being on the ninth day of the month, Tishrei. Is that what he's saying? He tells us when too, doesn't he? In the evening time. In the evening, from evening, Erev, to evening, shall you celebrate your Shabbaton. Now, he doesn't tell us to walk around with our face saddened. Because you're afflicting your being, you haven't had biscuits or cupcakes. Come on, people of Yahweh. He said you shall celebrate. And when you celebrate, that means life, doesn't it? And you shall celebrate from when? The evening until the evening. So from next Friday, from the evening until the evening, we shall celebrate the atonement of Almighty Yahweh. We shall have a celebration. You shall have a celebration unto Almighty Yahweh. It shall be a Shabbaton for us. A time of celebration. A time whereby we shall celebrate the wonderful works of Yahweh. The truth of Almighty Yahweh. We shall celebrate that. Hallelujah. Now Yahweh tells us exactly when this began. Shofar begins today. The first month. This is the first day. The eve until the eve is the first day. So at the beginning of the eve, we began to enter into this time of the first day of Tishrei. Feast of Trumpets. The blowing of the shofar.
And he tells us from that day to the 10th day, you will enter into atonement. And so on the eve of the 9th day, you began to afflict yourself. You began to fast. And you shall celebrate that day, that entire day, from the eve to the eve of the next day, you shall celebrate it. It shall not overcome you. You shall not be bound by it, but you shall celebrate that. And he says from there, you shall gnaw, you shall bruise yourself, you shall afflict yourself. You shall not allow your flesh to take rule, strength and power over you, but you shall afflict yourself. You shall fall prostrate before Yah in humility. You shall humble yourself. You shall not be arrogant or walk boastfully. But he says, I want you to humble yourself and do it with all sincerity. Hallelujah. Go back with Deacon Benny, brother. Catch him right quick, Deacon. Hallelujah. You shall afflict yourself. He goes on to say, listen now, I want to continue this. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Don't worry about nothing else. In the 33rd verse of the same chapter, as we come to Hag Sukkoth, Sukkoth, it is called the Feast of Tabernacle. And again, now listen, now this is Yahweh doing the talking, isn't it? It says in verse 33, and Yahweh spoke, he debar to Moshe, saying. Does your text read that way? That's the way mine read, all right? He spoke unto Moshe, saying, speak. Do you hear this now? Speak to the children of Yisrael. Is that who he says to speak to? So only speak to Yisrael. You that have the living power, the Torah, and the witness of Yeshua, I speak to you. Saying, listen to what he says now. The first day, the 10th day, and on the 15th day of the 6th month, on the 7th month, he is precise. No reason that we should be ignorant. None whatsoever. He said, on the 15th day of the 7th month, there shall be a feast of tabernacle. There shall be Ha-Sukkoth, a time for 7 days. To who? To Moshe or to Yah? Now you think if Yahweh established something, is it of great value to him? Sure it is, brothers and sisters. He did not say this is unto some whorehouse, some church, that Jezebel pursuer of corruption. He said, but this shall be a celebration unto me. That's what it says, brother. We can't take it lightly all we want to, but he means what he says. He has not changed. He says, shall be a celebration, it shall be a time, or a tabernacle, a Sukkoth, for 7 days, two. He indicates who is two, to Yahweh, to me. He says, on the first day, shall be a mikrah kodesh. You shall do no servile, no laborious work in it. You shall do nothing of laboring work. You shall not do any laborious work. You don't take that day for your house cleaning. You're going to change your furniture around? You don't do that, brothers and sisters. You don't get all your ironing done. You don't get all your thing done. If you do nothing but lay there and sleep, do that. And remind yourself of Almighty Yah. He said there should be no laborer in that day. None whatsoever. Now, everywhere he reminds us what not to do. And he tells us what to do. He says 7 days shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh, a praise, a concendra, a praise of worship, fire burning in us with Torah, for all of the mighty things he's done, as we enter into the season of ingathering, of everything he's done. It's a time of celebration, a time of fellowship, when they would see one another that they hadn't seen from one feast to the other. And they had come from many parts of the known world at that time to be in Jerusalem. This was the time that you have to gather. You don't stay at home. You must gather. He said it shall be offered made by fire. And then he said on the 8th day shall be a mikrah kodesh to you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a solemn, does he say assembly? Assembly. You must assemble yourself. A solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work on it. These are the feasts or the Moedim of Yahweh, which you shall. Now look what he says. I want you to proclaim that, to declare it, to let it be known, to be a Mikra Kodeshim convocation. To offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh, a burnt offering, for we offer a burnt offering unto him. For the word of Yah is like fire in us, and the praises ought to go forward unto Yahweh, the shouts of Todah and worship unto Yah. He said, and a meat offering. Ah, we bring the meat offering. For Yahshua is the meat offering that we bring unto Yah. We eat the meat, the living bread, the lechem, the body of Yahshua. For my body is meat indeed, he declares. We offer before him that meat offering, Yahshua, because he is sufficient. He is all that we need. A sacrifice and a drink offering. For my blood is drink, my dam is drink indeed. We will not refuse the blood. We will drink the blood of Yahshua. For it is the purger and the cleanse of our sins and all of our corruption. He say, everything upon this day, everything, beside the Shabbat of Yah and beside your gifts and beside all your vows and beside all your free will offerings which you shall give to Yah. Now this was one time of the year whereby everyone brought an offering unto Yah. Everyone. It was a time of festivity, time of gathering, time of fellowship, a time of excitement. And this was a time of the year that everyone in gathering, they had gathered all their garden into the barns, and everyone brought an offering unto Yahweh. Isn't that amazing? Because even the world does this. We see their Labor Day weekend is the time in America where they calculate all their costs. They see what they're spent during the summer. This is actually the end of summer, the Labor Day weekend, isn't it? It's the end of summer. Although we still got 3 weeks before summer ends. But that is literally the end of summer time. And he said at the end of the gathering, of the end gathering, you bring an offering. You bring an offering to me. So we bring an offering. I don't care what it is. We bring an offering unto Almighty Yahweh. Also on the 15th day of the 15th month, when you are gathering the fruit of the land, you shall keep or you shall celebrate a feast to Yahweh. Now that celebration means one of great fervent excitement. You shall celebrate a feast to Yahweh 7 days. And on the first day it shall be a Shabbaton. And the eighth day it shall be a Shabbaton. You shall take you on the first day of the bar of the magnificent tree that he tells us what to do. Is this difficult? Listen, he tells us to take the bark of the magnificent tree, branches, a palm tree as we take pine branches or whatever, branches of the tree, and barks of the thick tree, and willows of the brook. Find some willow trees around here. We got willows. He said, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh your God 7 days. He means what he says. And you should just simply, isn't that so simple? You know the strength and the power for us in this action here? It is one obedience. We just obey what he says. You get the bark just like they pray the Timorees, and you just dance before Yah, and you just have your bark, some leaves, some willow leaves. That's what he means. He has taken the simple things to confound a stupid generation. This confound people. Oh, what? That doesn't mean. But who said it? He said it. So it's of great significance. Oh, I know in our own natural eyes it looks silly, doesn't it? Sure it does. But he means what he says. He wants to see the act of obedience. Hallelujah. Someone grabs something like that, get ashamed. Like, oh, this, come on. No, I will come on and do it.